Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib. Well, there's a movie unfolding in the South African economic political landscape. Where do you stand right now in terms of the DA attempting to stop the VAT increase on the 1st of May? Will they succeed?
I don't think they're going to succeed with that. I can understand their attempt and certainly the court case, but they're probably not going to be successful. I think it'll probably go ahead on the 1st of May. That doesn't mean that it persists on an ongoing basis. So for me, it's a suboptimal outcome. I think a way better outcome would be to not have any VAT increase whatsoever and simply look to improve the efficiency of government spending. I think that's a very obvious outcome, especially since the 0.5% VAT is, it amounts to about 15 billion rand a year, and I have to believe that we can claw back 15 billion of inefficient spending and avoid all of this turmoil in terms of uncertainty and creating a lot of investor concern. So I think it's unfortunate. I don't think they're going to be successful. What I hope happens, though, is that there is a better application of the government's mind when it comes to how we collect in the revenue. Can we perhaps collect a bit more? The revenue service seems to be saying we can collect more. Can we improve efficiency? And therefore, down the line, can we maybe reverse the VAT hike? And this, I mean, that's not ideal, but you can do that, right? So you could have the VAT increase in for a while, then at some point say, we've been able to improve the situation, take away the VAT increase and not increase it next year. The feedback we're getting, though, I think this is the more important bit, is the government of national unity was a good outcome, but now you're into an extended phase of uncertainty. And if you take that uncertainty coupled with two other things, one is the global problem with tariffs and the potential knock on global trade, which South Africa can get caught up in, and obviously the negative attention from the Trump administration. If you put those three things together, there's no doubt that we've been penalized for the combination of factors. And you can see that in the currency. We underperform in emerging market currencies quite significantly. So we tend in at the moment to blame the currency weakness on, oh no, it's the Trump thing. That's not the case. The Trump thing is an element of what's going on, but that's mainly resulting in dollar weakness. If you look at the rand weakness, certainly the rand against the trade-weighted rand, that's very weak. And that tells you that there's a South Africa-specific issue, and it goes beyond VAT. VAT doesn't come up as a discussion when you talk to foreign investors. What comes up is the stability of the GNU and whether South Africa can deal with the current global environment, and you would be concerned about both instances.
What do you make of the stability of the GNU?
So I think the GNU is as stable as these things can be. I think they intrinsically are unstable around the world. I think you've got to go through many iterations. And I guess over time, if your politics are used to coalition politics, as you get in many European countries, you probably get a bit more used to it. But I think in South Africa, we don't have the maturity of politics to really result in a stable outcome. So I would argue that this type of conflict was inevitable. I would have hoped that it occurred later. I would have hoped that it occurred over a more substantive issue. I really don't think the VAT is a big enough issue to cause this type of disruption to the GNU and this type of uncertainty. I would have hoped it was a much bigger issue. I think it will hold together for the moment, but down the line, you have to bet that other issues come about and that may end up in a breakup of the GNU.
There is consensus that this is an own goal from the ANC in terms of forcing the VAT hike, and they are going to continue to lose power across the board. You agree?
Yeah, I don't think anybody's excited about a VAT increase. I can't imagine that the general business community, the general household community are saying, great, I really love a VAT increase. I think most people are under pressure and this just adds to that pressure. So from that perspective, I don't think it's going to win any points for the ANC. Equally, they're not really doing enough to lift the growth rate. And I think there's a bigger issue here with regards to South Africa's fiscal position that I think we need to discuss. And if I could just quickly highlight it. In the budget, the government put down a growth forecast of 1.9% GDP growth, 1.9%, last year was 0.6%. Now, to be honest, the 1.9% is pathetic within the South African context and what we need to grow at, but it's a meaningful acceleration. Right now, what I'm seeing is significant downward revisions to most growth estimates, and the private sector is moving much closer to a 1% growth outcome. And so there's a real risk here that you've just put in a 1.9%, you've set up your revenue projections on the back of that. Your revenue is expected to grow in terms of the budget by 9.2%. Now, if you think last year we grew revenue at 4.2%, that's a huge increase in revenue growth because you're hoping that the economy does better. What happens if the economy doesn't grow better? What happens if all of this negativity from the GNU, the global negativity, weighs on South Africa's growth and we only grow by 1%? What happens is you're going to miss the revenue target by way more than 15 billion, and the increase in VAT is going to be adding downward pressure to the economic performance. So you end up saying, look, South Africa's not doing anywhere near enough to convince people of a growth strategy in this country. Because we enter this phase where we put growth numbers forward, we don't achieve them during the year, we have to revise it down, then we say, oh, no, next year we'll do much better, and we're following that same pattern. And none of that is convincing. So what we need is an absolutely compelling, clear policy to lift the growth rate. And these squabbles around that would then fade away into the background. We just don't have that growth agenda. And so I think for the moment, we're squabbling over smaller issues and we're ignoring the really big issue. How the hell do we grow South Africa faster?
And on that note, is Enoch Godongwana, the South African finance minister, a safe pair of hands?
So I think he understands the role now. I would describe him as probably a reluctant finance minister at the outset. If you remember the circumstance in which he took over, I think he probably, there was quite a lot of encouragement for him to do that. I think he's much more comfortable in a policy setting where you're more in the background and you may be formulating some of the policies that feed into the ANC process. And he's done that successfully for many decades. So I think the role that he's got now is not necessarily his first prize, but I recognize that he's grown into the role to some extent. What seems to me missing here, and you could see it with the cabinet decision the decision to hike VAT initially by 2%, is you're not really having this coordinated policy approach by the cabinet to say, guys, let's get together. What is it that we're trying to achieve? How do we lift the growth rate? How are the different elements of the country, whether it's trade and industry, whether it's got to do with finance, whether it's got to do with labor policy, how are we all working together to lift the growth rate? What's the overall policy approach? We seem to be operating silos. So I think that in that sense, he's capable of doing that role. But clearly, the fact that the minister is not saying, the Minister of Finance is not standing up and saying, guys, we just can't spend this type of money. You can't have your increase. You've got to go away and revise your budgets, come back with a more acceptable budget. That's telling me that his political clout within the cabinet setup is perhaps not as strong as you would ideally want, and that he's not a Trevor Manuel in terms of his character. And you can debate whether you want that or not. So I think that he's grown into it. I think he understands the role. I think he's capable of doing the role. But it feels to me that we need a much, much stronger force within cabinet that takes the economy forward. And I'm not sure who that is.
Should we bring back Trevor Manuel? Is there any hope we can bring back a Trevor Manuel?
I doubt it very much. I think he's probably more than comfortable with what he's got himself involved in subsequent to that. But you know, if I go back to when Trevor Emanuel was in power, there was a lot of pressure on him to spend money. There was, you know, and he went in the opposite direction. Now, at some point, he got heavily criticized for being too disciplined, too restrictive, too holding on to the purse string, so to speak. But I think that he was implementing a policy framework that was entirely appropriate at the time. And quite honestly, South Africa didn't exactly struggle during his phase. We went to an A credit rating. We got the debt well under control. We had a growth rate for 4 years at over 4%. We created, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of jobs. South Africa had a good phase of economic performance. And there's no doubt that part of that related to fiscal discipline and the benefit of fiscal discipline for business confidence. So he felt the pressure. It's not as if the pressure didn't exist. It's just that he was able to resist that and probably had the full backing of Thabo Mbeki at the time. Clearly, that has changed. It doesn't mean you've got to become quite as draconian in terms of the approach. But what you do need to do is you do need to have a much more forceful, a much more clear strategy on how you lift the growth rate. Everybody who's looked at South Africa, no matter who they are, the IMF, the World Bank, internally, it doesn't matter. They've all arrived at exactly the same conclusion. South Africa's major problem is you don't grow the economy fast enough. And so make that your main objective, bar none, and therefore focus exclusively on getting the growth rate a lot stronger.
And Kevin, there's also low-hanging fruit. I mean, just a signal of re-looking at the size of the cabinet, the deputy ministers, and you could give the market such a positive signal. And when I talk about the market, I'm talking about investors, right? In installing that or instilling that confidence in South Africa. They're just a couple of really easy signals that we could move to.
I agree, absolutely. And you can imagine that within each government department, you could eke out a lot of efficiency gains and not interrupt critical programs. In fact, I could argue that you would benefit those critical programs because you're focusing more resources more acutely on what you're trying to achieve. So there's no doubt. And the president said that at some point he was talking about slimming down the size of the cabinet and cutting out a lot of that sort of heavy spending at the top end of government. And I think that you're not going to solve your VAT problem by that alone, but it would send an appropriate message. And I think that if you then follow that up by clear efficiency gains, wow, it would be impactful. And I think business confidence would rise as a consequence. And I think globally, people would appreciate that you are trying to implement the appropriate changes. The sad thing, Bronwyn, about South Africa is that if we clearly demonstrated a growth uplift that was believable, wow, the money would flow into this country, because South Africa is a place where the people recognize the potential. And so if you started to unlock that potential, it would feel a lot better. The currency is undervalued. Look at the bond market in terms of the real yield. That's incredibly attractive. The stock market's undervalued. South Africa could go through a good phase, but I don't think that's just going to miraculously happen. We've got to get a proper growth strategy that is credible, not a speech, but an actual implementation path that we can see we're making progress on. Then I think we unlock that value. And quite honestly, the benefit would be more fixed investment growth and employment.
Kevin, you've been through a number of cycles and we've spoken about them for many, many years. How are you personally feeling right now at this juncture, and how does it differ from prior periods?
So this is firstly, it's another lost opportunity. The opportunity was the formation of the Government of National Unity, and within that, a commitment that was there before to private-public partnerships. And I think the Government of National Unity was going to, on the face of it, urge that to progress further. And at that point, you would have been a lot more optimistic, and we had become a lot more optimistic on a medium-term view. In other words, a three-year view. We were saying a lot could happen in a positive direction. Unfortunately, months just tick past, right? Month after month after month. And when you look back at it, you've lost the initiative. You've lost the good feel around the GNU, and you've gone in the opposite direction. There have been many opportunities to take the private-public partnership process a lot quicker, more forcefully forward. They've all sort of, they haven't disappeared, but they've all languished. They've all encountered their own particular problems. And we're quite quickly moving into a phase where we're looking back and saying, we've lost the opportunity. The problem is that when you've got a government debt of 76% of GDP, you don't get many opportunities. The opportunities run out. If your government debt was 20 or 30% of GDP, you could say, well, no, another opportunity will present itself. No, not in this environment. You can see how competitive the world has become, how difficult our turmoil has become. We had an opportunity. It was within our grasp, and we've let that slip. And all of that just means we got a harder job to try and get the growth rate going. And more, I worry that people are just accepting, oh, the growth rate's almost 2%. That's good. And they're kind of nodding along with that. 2%, or not being funny, is hopeless within in the South England context. You're not going to improve people's lives with 2% GDP growth. We've got 2%. To double that.
I mean, we're saying already everyone's looking at closer to 1%. So, I mean, so anybody who's thinking of 2% is in la-la land.
Exactly. So, but when people put up 2%, it's like they feel that that's an accomplishment. We were in an environment of 3% growth not that long ago, and we even said then 3% is just not good enough. And so we've kind of capitulated on this, and now we're more accepting of, well, we've got some positive growth. The problem is it's not improving people's lives. It's not dealing with the population growth. It's not dealing with the unemployment. And so In another year's time, I think we'll be debating the same thing. Revenue shortfall that we didn't get. How do we collect more revenue? Are we going to go with this tax hike or that tax hike? We've still got the infrastructure shortfalls. It all just languishes, and we don't have that time. We don't have the benefit of just endless time, years go by, where we're not developing South Africa.
It's jobs, and if we don't grow, we cannot create employment. And if we don't create employment, we're going to continue with the inequality that South Africa is now famous for. And that brings instability, Kevin.
So absolutely. So think about, put it in context, think about young people who are leaving school, leaving university, and want a future for themselves. What would you tell them? What realistic would you suggest they should do in terms of how do they go about finding jobs, careers, opportunities, skills development? So the years go by and we're not dealing with that. So there's a massive opportunity cost that's going on in South Africa. And quite frankly, now we look back at it and it's 15 years. We're starting to get into, we've lost a generation of opportunity. It just feels to me that we don't have the right sense of urgency, that tomorrow's fine, the next week, the next month, everything just drags on. And we don't have that luxury. So at this stage, bit despondent. I can see what would need to be done. I think that's not difficult. I think many people come up with the same conclusions. I think that's encouraging. The people that look at South Africa and suggest what we can do, they all reach similar conclusions. So I think there's a good understanding of what we need to do. There's just there isn't a political will to implement that assertively and with a sense of urgency.
You chat to a lot of foreign investors. Are they giving up on us?
So when the sentiment changed with South Africa, unfortunately, when the Trump administration vocalized a negative view on South Africa. Before that, I think there was a reasonable degree of optimism. There was certainly an expectation that the GNU would help. But I was on a particular investor call with some people in Washington shortly after Trump started to vocalize his displeasure with South Africa, and that came up as a topic. And normally, South Africa is not mentioned in those types of investor calls directly. And the conclusion from that is South Africa is uninvestable. It wasn't that they felt that Trump was correct or that what Trump was saying was absolutely valid. It wasn't that. It was that the investors got a wide range of opportunities when you go, especially into emerging markets. South Africa is one of many choices they've got. So why pick a country where, you know, the president of the United States has taken a particularly negative interest in? You would go to a different destination. And I think that's done quite a lot of damage to us in terms of foreign investor sentiment. Subsequent to that, obviously, all of the stuff around the fiscal framework, the problem with the voting around it, that hasn't helped at all. I don't think foreigners worry
about a 0.5% VAT. I never get asked a huge amount of detail about that. But what they do worry about is, does the GNU stay together? And is South Africa's policy going to lift the growth rate? And therefore, if I invest, am I going to get an uplift? And they're just not walking away with that. And so they're going elsewhere. I don't think they've turned their back entirely on South Africa. In other words, if we were to put something on the table that is convincing, I think foreigners would reappear and be interested. It's not like it's gone away forever. But it feels like we had that. We had the opportunity. All we had to deliver was a better growth trajectory that was more compelling, and we would have been a significant uplift from there. We just weren't able to do it.
Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stan Lib, thanks as always for joining us.
Sure, pleasure.